Well, I want to do a quick review from this morning. We said this morning that we were going to totally separate what is called works from grace and faith. And so we did that totally 100%. And everybody left here this morning knowing that we cannot rely on our good works or our actions to actually receive or to get anything from God. Can I have a hearty amen? We found out that Job was an upright man. He did everything right. He was right before God, and he even shunned evil. But he didn't have faith concerning protecting his stuff. We found out Abram, God chose a pagan man in a pagan land. Now, that dawned on some folks this morning. I've always said that, but it just really, you know, went home this morning that he was a pagan man outside of covenant, and God said, "This is what I want to do for you." And his heart said, "Yes, I agree, I believe that, amen." And then we found out when God would turn and tell him to do something, he kind of made a mess of it. And then we find him in Hebrews 11. Pastor Brian, how'd that happen? Well, God judged him by his heart. He said, "Get up, son, get away from your family and get away from your kindred and get away from this country you're in and go to a land I'm going to show you." First thing he did, he said, "Come on, Lot." He carried Lot with him. Yes. And then, you know, he said, "Now, Lord, what are you going to give me, seeing I don't have a son?" He said, "Well, make me some blood covenant here." And then he believed God in what he told him, and he was made righteous by what he believed. So the scripture says, even in his mistakes, he staggered not at the promises of God. He went all the way in the promises of God with faith that he considered not the deadness of his own body. Now, you know, you've had the question for years, well, his body wasn't dead. He had Ishmael. Well, see, that was 14 years after he had Ishmael. Amen. So he became dead after that. So he considered not the deadness of his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, giving God glory and honor and praise. Why? Because God fixed him up. He said, "I'm going to change your name, and you'll stay in faith all the days of your life because of this." He said, "You're not going to be called Abram, just a daddy anymore. Your name's going to be Abraham, you and me mixed together." So everybody came across Abraham's path, say, "Hey, Abraham." They called him the father of many nations. And everybody says, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Abraham." He said, "My name's a father of many nations." So he called those things that be not as though they were. So therefore God quickeneth the dead. How? By calling those things that be not as though they were. Abram became the father of faith, exalted and brought the Redeemer, Jesus, into the earth. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Sarah received strength conceived because she judged him faithful. But I have a witness that when God told her she's going to have a baby, she laughed at him. So it wasn't on the actions of Abram or Sarah that they got this promise, but it was on what they believed. Hallelujah. We go over to Zacharias over there, and in Luke chapter 1, we find out the angel come and told him, said, "You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John." And he doubted that. And he says, "Well, what am I going to do? You know, we can't have children." He said, because you doubted this, you won't be able to speak. What is not being able to speak? That's the works of faith. The first work of faith is being able to call those things and be not as though they were. So Zacharias, he was an upright man. He was a righteous man before God and man. Luke chapter 1 said that. But he had no faith concerning or pertaining to the plan of God for his life. Oh, somebody raise your hand. Amen. See, we're taking all the pressure off mankind, all the pressure off of man's flesh. Hallelujah. Then we have Mary. Mary, the angel of the Lord came to her and says, "Behold, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be Jesus." And she said, "Now, how's this going to be? I know not a man." He said, "The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and this child that you're going to have is going to be born of God." Hallelujah. So that brought her enough information to feed her faith, and she said, "According to thy word, so be it unto me." So was that Mary's strength that brought this to pass? No. Was it the ability of the Holy Mary, you know, to bring that to pass? No. What was it? It was Mary's faith. She had faith in what God said to her. And I believe in verse 45 of that same chapter, it says, "There shall be a performance of those things told you because you believe." Amen. So we're up to this point right now that no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no church, no church creed, no doctrine, no church establishment can receive anything of God from works. the works of any man's flesh is shortcoming. The Bible says over in Romans that every man, his works, if it's outside of grace or outside of faith, his works are going to be compared to Jesus when the judgment comes. We'll stand up there and we'll say, I did all this great stuff for you, God. And God will say, good, I have a standard that it takes for you to get into heaven. And I'm going to bring him over here and compare your works with his. And if your works, I know this is funny, but it's serious, amen. And if your works go beyond his, then you can come on in. And then we will all, in that condition, be men most miserable and say we didn't count up. But then when we get to that place, which you've already been judged, then we will look at our Father and he said, what are you doing here? And we'll say unto him, we're coming on his behalf. I couldn't get here, but he sent me. Amen. And Father will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, where'd the faithful come in? We were faithful to believe by faith what God did. Glory be to God. So now, that comes up to the point tonight. We're going to talk about works. We're going to talk about doing things for God. We're going to talk about being good stewards. We're going to talk about, you know, laying hands on the sick. We're going to talk about being evangelists. What are works for? Works are not to get God's attention. Works are not to get something from God. Works are ordained of God so that we can reveal Him unto mankind. Works cannot take place in our life until we come to a place of rest in God. We have to be in a place of rest with God. Now that rest means that we understand in our heart and in our mind that the works are finished from the beginning of time. We don't have to accomplish anything else to be right between us and God except believe what Jesus did. So when that is established, when that is secure in our life, that's the beginning. That's where we begin to learn how to operate in good works. Good works out here in this world has to be founded, or the foundation has to be on, everything between God and I is rights through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and let's look at it. Let's go and look at it. How many believe that God and Jesus were right toward one another? Now, see, your flesh, everybody say, my flesh, is just like anybody else's. See, God will give you a supernatural promise. He'll give you a supernatural vision and destiny. And then your flesh is just like mine. He'll try to get out there and make it come to pass. Just like Abram. His flesh rose up wanting to accomplish a supernatural feat. God has mercy there. The same temptation came to Jesus. And he was the Son of God. First thing that happened to Jesus was Satan came to him and says, if you be the Son of God. In other words, if you got that settled, then now you're just beginning. If you be the Son of God, you're hungry. You've been here 40 days and 40 nights and not eaten. If you be the Son of God, then command these stones to turn into bread. Why didn't Jesus do that? He commanded things and it happened. He spoke to the sick, the palsy, and it obeyed him. Amen. Why didn't he turn those rocks into bread? Because it was a temptation from the evil one for him to enter into the flesh realm to accomplish a supernatural realm. So Jesus put that in the Bible so you and I wouldn't be out throwing rocks off the hill trying to get something to happen. Glory be to God. Remember, there is a rest for those that believe God and His promises are complete and finished. Go over to Jude 20. Jude 20. Now this will tell you how to build your foundation and how to begin your works after everything is settled between you and your heavenly Father. Jude 20 says this, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That is a scripture we always use concerning the prayer language that we have praying in the Spirit, but he said you can build up your most holy faith. Now, Barclay's translation says this, "As for you, you must continue to build your life on the foundation of your most sacred faith. Live lives of prayer in the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost." So he said, to build your life, you must build on your most sacred faith. Now, since everything is all right between you and God, that is a place to begin life on this earth. That's where we start living and start performing works in the earth. Amen. Now, watch this. Works are not for God. Works are not for God. The works are finished in Jesus Christ. The works are for the world. The works and the things we do with God is to show this lost and dying world who God is. Can I get a witness in the house? So again, it's very, very powerful for us to know and understand that the works are completed and they're finished in God. When we're settled and have peace in our life and in our heart that God is pleased with us through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's easy to lay hands on the sick. It's easy to call yourself the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's easy to say I'm blessed and not cursed. It's easy for you to walk up to somebody and they say, "Well, y'all pray for me." And you say, "Now? Can we pray now?" "Well, yeah, I guess so, yeah." And then you'll say, "Just watch God come on the scene." You mean I'll say that? Yes, if you know that everything is right between you and God, you'll be bold as a lion. Amen. Why? Because he's given you his righteousness. So he said, build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So there's the foundation that we begin to do our works off of. We begin to build up our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit or staying connected to the Spirit. Galatians 4:19 tells us, that the law of Moses and grace will not blend together. Paul said that I keep praying for you and I keep groaning until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. Now, how many of you know some folks, maybe in your family, maybe friends you got, that maybe you've been, excuse me, floating along with the Lord for, you know, a season of time and you would call yourself maybe mature believers. Amen. But you recognize this person and you say, "Well, now they're just really not up to par. They say a lot of crazy things and they're, you know, watching a lot of Christian TV and stuff like this, and they're kind of flaky and kind of squirrely in their brain." Have you ever seen somebody like that? The Bible says, "Ye which are spiritual, if you find someone in a fault," he says, "you go and restore them in the spirit of meekness." We're in the business of restoration, not condemning. Because in the church today, there's babies. There's babies. Have you ever heard the phrase, "You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater"? There's people doing a lot of things in the earth today because they're just not mature enough to know any difference. Their heart's right before God, but they don't know what to do. And then when they do something, the church don't help them. The church just blows up on them and shuns them and shames them. How many of y'all ever been shunned or shamed? How many of y'all know you don't like to go around there very much? That's right. Matter of fact, you drive 20 miles out of the way in your new car, amen, to get away from that. Is that right? Why? Because you know if that person sees you, they're going to shun you or shame you. Paul said when he went to the church at Corinth. Now, Corinth, the Corinthians, they're in the Bible. So if we think something's in the Bible, we think, "Now, boy, they got it." Amen. They got it together. Well, Corinth was one of the most lascivious places on the planet. But God planted a church there. There was all manner of stuff going on, even in the church. So Paul said, he made an announcement. He said, "Now, I come to be a guest minister here at the church at Corinth." He said, "But I couldn't even teach and preach what God told me to bring." He said, "Because you couldn't stand it." Why? Because the whole house was full of babies. He said, "There's so much envy and strife and division here." He said, "I can't even bring a word from heaven to you." He said, "For you walk as mere men." Mere men. Now, that mere men, he said, "You're yet carnal." That means, you know, flesh, fleshly. That means the whole church wasn't able to hear a word from God, and they were in the church. They were saved, y'all. A lot of times we hear about people doing stuff, and we can't believe why they did it, or how they did it, or how bad it is. Listen, we have to drop that mentality, because our mentality is we're the mature ones, and we can see how that we can help those people. Amen. So this morning we were talking about works. I wish I had a dollar for every time someone told me, you can't do that. You can't do that, man. You can't do that. I wish I had a dollar for you can't do that, because I had a bunch of them. I had people tell me, you can't do that. Well, guess what? I did it, man. What are we going to do? I mean, it's too late to tell me now. I did it. I needed your help before I did it. Amen. Before I was exposed and put in the newspaper and on the megaphone of heaven. Amen. I needed you before that. But now we did it. What do we do? I don't know what to do with you. We're still talking about works here. What do? Well, we restore someone when they've come short of the glory of God, and we help them, and we give them truth, and we give them truth and love so that they can grow. There's a book out there in the bookstore I recommend that, highly recommend. It's called Growing Up Spiritually. You'll be able to locate yourself and see if you're a baby in a certain area or a child, or you're mature in certain realms of God. So Paul, remember now, when he went to the church at Corinth, he said, now the Holy Ghost couldn't move like he wanted to because you are yet carnal. You're people that were just, you know, you are born again, but you're mere men. People that act like they hadn't even been born again. Have you ever had a pastor in your past that they talked about a certain person doing a thing and they said, they're not even saved? Now, y'all can loosen up a little bit here tonight because I'm a good pastor and you're a good flock. Amen. But we're talking about works tonight, okay? How many of you know that it is understanding to know that people are going to make mistakes? So their right standing between them and what they did is not what makes them right standing between them and God. It's their faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody has to grow up. Is that right? Paul even wrote in his letter to the church at Corinth. He said, now listen, there's somebody over there that's cohabiting with their father's wife. He said, now that's not good. He said, now I've judged. I know what to do here as a man of God. I'm going to come there and I'll judge the situation. And y'all should have taken care of it. In other words, you should have brought them back to restitution. You should have helped them. But if they're not going to change, he said, I'm coming to turn them over to Satan. Everybody say, turn them over to Satan. The scripture says, for the destruction of the flesh, so that they can be saved. Oh, man, that messes people's doctrine up big time right there. Now, see what that is? That's a Christian. Everybody say a Christian. 1 Corinthians 5. It's a Christian. It's someone that's been saved, and they're doing things that are wrong. Now, if they choose not to change, then Paul said, I'm coming to turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so their spirit man can be saved. So just because they make a mistake don't mean they're going to hell. That's not what the Bible says. So then you go over to 2 Corinthians 7, you find out that man repented. It was godly sorrow taking place. He repented, got right before God and got right before man. What he did didn't make him not right by the blood of Jesus Christ with God. His works were not going to reveal God unto mankind. Can I get a witness? So it's good. It's good to be on the right side concerning those things. It's good for you to be able to locate and recognize if this is a baby or if that's a child or if this is we're dealing with a mature believer. It's all different realm. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, now I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who lived and died for me. So now, since everything's right between he and I, now I'm living a life of faith so that I can grow and mature in the body of Christ. I can be a mature believer and operate and do good works in this life. Now, to get to heaven, remember, the works are complete in Jesus Christ. But there's coming a day that you and I, we will all have to go before the judgment seat of Christ. You and I will not be before the great white throne of judgment, the great white throne of God, the judgment of God. You won't be there because you've already been judged in Jesus Christ. But the things that you do in this body, in this earth, you'll be judged in that. Amen. The Bible says your works, what you did in the flesh, in the earth, it'll be revealed in heaven, and fire, the glory of God, will be revealed comparing your works. And if your works endure that fire, then there'll be great rewards handed out from that. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get there or not. That means you're already in by Jesus Christ. But those rewards that we'll receive, a soul winner crown may be given to you. But guess what? It's not going to have your hat size on it. When the rewards are handed out for the works that you do in this earth, the crown is going to fit Jesus and not you. Amen. When those rewards and crowns are handed to you, glory to God, then you're not going to get to wear them. You're going to have them in your hand, and you'll get to carry them over to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you'll be able to carry them over to the throne of Almighty God, and you'll be able to place them at His feet. And He will ultimately get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for everything that's done and accomplished in us by and through Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Let's step back over into the law. You can't do that. Can't smoke, can't drink, can't chew, can't dip, can't run around women. Now, if we fulfilled and didn't do all of those according to the law, we would stand before Him and that fire would be revealed and our works would melt. They wouldn't stand the heat because it wouldn't be done by faith. It would be done by, I have to, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do, you can't. No, God's not in the can't. He's in you can. You can lay hands on the sick. You can bless. You can instruct in righteousness. You can live a life of freedom. You can be free from the yoke of bondage. You can be free, amen, from drugs and alcohol. Is that right? You can be free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't that a good word tonight? Over in James chapter 2 and verse 17, this good pastor James, pastor over there in the church of Jerusalem, he made the statement. He said, now, faith without works is dead. Well, Paul, speaking about Abram over there in Romans chapter 4, he said, what is it that Abram has found pertaining to the flesh concerning pleasing God? He found out that works has nothing to do with us being right before God. Now here's James saying that faith without works is dead. What's up? Is James mad at Paul? Is Paul mad at James? Are they confused? No, they're talking about two different things. One is being right before God. And being right before God, there's nothing left other than faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, James, he's talking to a group of Jewish believers that believe the message of Jesus Christ, and now they've been delivered from the law, and hey, they found them a stump, and they sat down, man. They said, we don't have to keep the law no more. That's it. I'm done, man. I'm through. I'm finished. Well, James went to say, now, since your faith has made you right between God, it's now time for you to go to work. Your faith with your works will reveal the faith that you have. Not trying to get faith or trying to get God. Now, since you have faith, there'll be works that'll follow your life. Now, watch this. What is the number one work of faith? Somebody answer that. Saying. That's right. The number one work of faith is not going and doing, but the number one work of faith is saying. For instance, when we have a scripture that says we're blessed, the number one work of that is not to run and give somebody some money. The number one work of faith is when He says all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen, our number one work is this: I am blessed in Him. That's the work of that faith. I say what God said about me. Then out of that, He will lead me by His Spirit to know what to do with that prosperity, with that blessing. Where to go, what to say, where to be, what to do. Those works then will be of faith. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that take pressure off? God is not the God that will pressure you into His will. He doesn't put pressure. Matter of fact, in God's will, there's no pressure. In God's works, it's the most free thing that you've ever done in all of your life. 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Apostle Paul says, we believe and therefore what? Speak. Now remember that. That's a law. It needs to be in your heart. The number one work of faith is speak. We sow faith, we put him to work. We have faith, we say what faith will say, and that's the first work of faith. It puts action, puts faith to work, and that's our first work. We tell the world, we stand and say, I'm blessed right in the middle of famine. I'm healed right in the middle of the doctor's office. I am what God says I am. Is that right? Now watch this. Watch this law. What did James chapter 3 say? James chapter 3 says, now, if I'm called to be a teacher or I have a place of leadership, then there's far greater scrutiny going to come to me. Now, see, this morning we talked about, we said we separated all the works from faith. But now we're talking about works tonight. As a leader in the body of Christ, I shouldn't be a liar. Now, what's the standard? 1 Timothy chapter 3. I ought to be apt to teach. I should know the Word of God. I shouldn't be a novice. I shouldn't just be born again last week trying to lead a group of people. Honor is demanded here, but respect has to be earned. See, my life has to flow from God and to reflect God for mankind to respect me in this earth. Can I get a witness? When it comes to leadership and helping people, then there's a higher level that's required to lead a group of people and to be over a group of people than it is anywhere else. Hallelujah. Let's give an example here. How many of you have ever heard of Jimmy Swaggart? Right now, everybody's mind's going in all different directions. And you're thinking thoughts. And so, I mean, during that time, as I was a Christian during that time, just getting started in the things of God, I had 400 people come tell me. And, you know, he was teaching big time about being born again. You can see him saying it right now. And everybody in the world come to me and say, well, Brother Brian, is Jimmy Swaggart got to get born again? I wish I had a dollar for that. Amen. Because I heard it over and over and over and over and over again. Now watch this. Between God and Jimmy Swaggart, guess what? He's still in the ministry today. Is that right? God wasn't moved by that. God wasn't affected by that. The blood of Jesus was on the altar of heaven. I only know one minister that publicly came to his side and blessed him and prayed over him and tried to restore him, and that was Kenneth E. Hagin. He stood him up in a public meeting and says, we forgive you and we bless you. Come up here. And he laid hands on him and says, go your way and minister by the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's the only one I know. The rest of them is on TV, you know, just pouring down on him and trying to kill him. Come on, somebody. But now watch this. God never stopped loving him. The blood never became too weak so that it wouldn't cover him. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that half the people that he was touching before that happened left? So see, that those works that he was doing in the earth, it wasn't between he and God. It was for mankind. Half the people that he was touching left instantly the day they heard about that. So that's why here, that's why we're so strict about money. You ask Jerry Jones, I've seen these two ladies right here. They've worked all day, 8 hours long looking for a nickel. Why? Why? Because we're going to be upright. We're not afraid. We're not scared. But no, we're going to be accountable. So we're not going to lie. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to run around. This lady and I, we have desires toward one another and nobody else. Why? Because God has placed me in a position of leadership and it's required. If I'm going to be a leader, it's required of me to be more. Now, does God love me more than he does you? No. See, you know the answer. But in leadership, there's much more required. There's much more required. Why? Because you're looking at me and you're watching me to be a leader and show you where to go and how to go in the body of Christ. Now see, that separates works and puts it in the right way. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. How many of y'all quote that often? Now that word walk there, we walk by faith and not by sight. That walk means lifestyle. It means our manner of life. Your neighbors ought to know that you're a faith person. I remember Brother Jim over here, they actually live down in Tuscaloosa. And so he was up here and his wife was down there when the big tornado came. And so everybody in the community thinks she's a little wacky. I'm just telling the story like it is. Amen. They think she's a little wacky because she's always talking to God. Well, here comes that big nader right toward their back porch, and she's on the back patio saying, "No, you won't. No, you won't. In the name of Jesus, you'll not come nigh my dwelling." And all the neighbors are watching and listening. They all gathered up over there. They said, "We saw you talking to that thing. She's not so crazy now." What is that? That's works. Did she do that to get right with God? No. She didn't. You better be right with God. Amen. No, they saw her faith in action. They saw the first works of her faith, and they heard the first works of her faith, and they all ran and said, "Oh, thank you. We saw you talking to that thing." They didn't say she was crazy that time. They said, "We're glad you spoke to that thing," because it did. It went right around where they lived because she said so. So the scripture says we live, our lifestyle is by faith. Our neighbors watch us, look at us, they hear us, they talk about us real bad until they have a need, and then they run to your house and want you to pray for them. They say, "Yeah, they go to that old church down there, but get one of the kids sick." They call you and say, "Well, we know that you pray and get your prayers answered. We want you to pray for little Junior here." So we walk by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "The just shall live by faith." That means all our actions and our deeds and everything about us, it's connected to our faith. There's things that I won't do because of my faith. There's things that I've sworn in my heart that I won't be a partaker of all the rest of the days of my life. Why? Because of my faith. And somebody right now felt fear and said, "Oh, I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't do that. Oh, I hope you don't do that." Listen, there's not a hope or a chance of me to do that. Why? Because it's of my faith. That'd be like telling God to tell a lie. You know, He can't do that. Why? Because He's the truth. When my faith is in my heart and in my mind, then I can't be what I'm not. Somebody says, "Oh, I'm afraid." You don't have to be afraid. You're either a liar or not. You're either that or not. Somebody says, "Well, I'm not." Well, you don't have to worry about it then. Remember this morning, somebody said over the years concerning these subjects, said, "Well, you're just giving people a license to sin." Remember the phrase? You don't have to give a license to sin. People are going to sin if they want to. A sinner is going to sin. A righteous man is going to make mistakes and find out from Father how not to do that next time. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 4 and verse 1 says, if you're a friend of this world, guess what? You're an enemy to God. But aren't you glad that good pastor didn't stop right there? He says, now if you'll humble yourself before God, He'll give you grace. What is grace? God's ability to live in this life and do what God wants done. I remember the call of God began to be evident in my heart. And see, that was the most thrilling thing to me. I was just so excited. I was tore up about it. I mean, it overwhelmed me that God would call me into the ministry. And then recognize what I was going to have to do being in the ministry. And listen, that scared me absolutely to death. It did. Somebody said, "Oh, don't say that." No, it did. Matter of fact, it's almost like I'd rather just pass on out of here than to have to stand up in front of people and talk. I was so tore up. I was so pleased that He would ask me to be a minister, be in the ministry. I was so thrilled about it, and I was loving on Him. He's loving on me. And then it dawned on me. I got to stand up in front of people. Amen. I made A's in high school, but I'd take a F when it come. When it come time to give a book report, I'd take a F and catch up later. Because when I got in front of people, my knees knocked together, and my teeth chattered, and there's a big old apple come in my throat, and I couldn't talk, and everybody throwed paper and made fun of me. Here I am. I'm thinking, "God, you love me, but now you're fixing to torture me." You're about to torture me. I'll never forget it. The first time I went to preach, I was scared teetotally to death. I was scared of the people I was about to preach to. I loved Him so much, but I was scared of what they... I'm figuring, "Oh, they're going to throw something big instead of paper wads." Already made up in my mind, they don't like me already. I'm just going to preach and tell about God. But I said this. I was on some steps. There were steps coming down from an upstairs room, and there's the auditorium where I was going to take the pulpit and preach, and I was two steps up because nobody could see me. And I said, "Lord, I'm scared. But I said, if this is what you want in my life, I'm ready to do it. And soon as I said that, just as soon as I said that, what was I doing? I was doing works. As soon as I said that, praise God, I'm like, whoa, man, where's them people at? Glory to God. It's like, yeah, hallelujah, oh my. And I'm telling you, when I hit that pulpit, they thought a thunder and lightning had happened. They thought they turned a wild tiger loose in that. What's happened to that man? I'm saying it in the middle of the pulpit to myself, dear Lord, what am I doing? Hallelujah. And I'm thinking, oh, this is good, man. This is great. And I was scared to death on the second step. And when I said that, Lord, I'm ready to do it. If this is what you want, whoom, something come on me. What is that called? It's grace. The grace of God came on me by faith. And from that moment on, no preacher told me, nobody taught me about that. But from that moment on, I found out how to exercise and operate the works of the ministry. I don't care if they're millionaires, billionaires, school teachers, lawyers, or doctors. It don't matter to me. If somebody will come listen, I'll preach 2 or 3 hours, and my knees don't shake unless the anointing gets so thick and rich. So it's by grace, so that it might be faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, it says, for you're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I have one great advantage over a lot of ministers, because the gifts and the talents of my life are very little. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not negative. That's not a negative connotation, but I know myself more than anybody else. I didn't have the abilities in me to do what I do today. So I had to totally rely on Him. I got friends that without the anointing, they can just stand and flow, and you can give them a subject, and they can talk 20 minutes on that subject. Just But now, I couldn't. So what I do, dear Lord, if the anointing don't fall, I'm in trouble. And y'all are too. So I learned right off the bat that I had to have God. I had to have His direction. I had to have His anointing. I had to have the tongue of the learned. I had to have Him speak to me. Amen. And so that's an advantage I had over others. I was inadequate into the place that He called those that are not. And glory to God, He's done a good job with me. I'm so proud of my Heavenly Father. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's look at that scripture. Romans chapter 5. So we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in verse 1 of Romans 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, how many of you are justified by faith? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. We have access by faith to this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So Paul says, now since we have peace with God through faith, now we have access to something to live by, and that's called grace. There's grace in this book. There's grace in God by faith for you to be the greatest husband in all the world. Every wife in here, when y'all get together in y'all's hens party, y'all ought to have a scratching fit about who's the best husband in here. Why? Because I'm your pastor, and I'm showing you how. Look at y'all. Well, y'all getting after it already, ain't you? We have by faith access to grace for us to be the best husband in all the world. Our children ought to be just, oh, no, my daddy, my mama, oh, they're the best. Why? Why? We have access by faith, the grace of God, for us to be parents. I brag on y'all all the time. I don't come in here and get y'all a swelled up head too much, but I brag on my pastors that I taught. I said, look, we got the best congregation in the world. How many folks y'all got down there? Well, I'm not talking about how many we got. I said, we got the best folk. We got the cream of the crop. I said, we can get the job done with this man. We're the Gideon bunch. Glory to God. So I'm bragging on you all the time. We in this earth, when it comes to showing the world who we are, we as Christians should be not by the legal realm, not by the you can't do this, not by the do's and don'ts, but that we have access to the grace of God by faith for us to become the greatest picture in this earth. That's why we can say we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. You don't know it, but there's dozens of people that are in your life. They love to be around you. They love to be around you. They don't get up in the morning. They don't call you and say, I love your good works. You're anointed of God. They may not understand that, but they love what they see on you and in you. And that's the good works of God that's anointed by the grace of God. Can you say amen? Then there's serving grace. We're saved by grace. And then there's the standing grace. The standing grace is we're able to stand against the wiles of Satan. We're able to stand against all temptations, tests, and trials. Hey, how many of you know anybody can yield to temptation? I mean, you know, the world, they can just yield to temptation and fall into it. Say, I couldn't help it. But how many of you know there's something different about a group of people that when there's something on them, bring any temptation you desire, require, and they can handle it. You can't understand it. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's obtained by grace through faith. The serving grace, whatever you do in leadership, there's grace for you to lead. There's grace for you to, you know, sing. There's grace for you to play. There's God's grace on you to lead on the job. There's grace for you to own the business. There's grace. It's God's grace that we're living by. Our job when it comes to works, it's to always remove ourselves from trying to be right before God, because that's already taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when we step out and begin to do something, we need to become the best, the greatest, be skilled in it, to where that all mankind looks at us and says, Dear Lord, they're 10 times better than anybody I know. Why? Because they got God on their side. God, we see God on their life. That's what works is all about.